give them a round of applause. Congratulations. Please be seated. So I'm going to do a little exercise with you. So I'm going to mention things that bring our hearts down, right? Because there are things that bring our hearts down, right? So I'm going to talk a little bit about that and about the first reading, and then we'll talk about this wonderful sacrament and how it actually all comes together. So we all know that things bring our hearts down. So I'm going to mention some things, if not all of them, because there's a million things that bring our hearts down. But after I mention each one, I want the choir to sing "Let It Rise." So get with the program. So get your choir together. But just that little phrase, though, just let it rise, okay? So when our hearts feel empty, when we feel lost, when we feel betrayed, they're getting it. When we've been pushed away. When they've treated us cruelly because of the color of our skin. Or the way we talk. Or where we're from. When we've been misunderstood. When we've been sick.
Let it rise.
When someone in our family has died.
Let it rise.
Maybe somebody we know has been killed.
Let it rise.
When we've been hurt.
Let it rise.
And one more time.
Let it rise.
So I don't know where your heart is right now. I know where mine is, but I don't know where your heart is. But for a moment, think about where your heart is right now. Close your eyes. Focus on where your heart is right now for about 15 seconds. And listen to the words of the choir.
Let it rise.
What a wonderful prayer and at the same time command, let it rise. It's not asking, it's not a question mark at the end of that phrase, it's more of an exclamation point, right? It's not like asking you to let it rise. Or would you like to let it rise? It is a command. It is let it rise, exclamation point. You know, yeah, there are lots of things that bring our hearts down. The first reading tells a story of hearts that were down. The context of that first reading about Elijah the prophet is that they were going through a drought and a famine. Their hearts were down. That was heavy on their hearts because they had nothing to eat, nothing to drink. It was a famine. There was hunger. There was hunger. And a little before that, God, the prophet is talking to the Lord, and the Lord sends him to this place to drink from this river. But then the river dried out. The river dried out. And he continues to be thirsty. His heart was heavy. And then the Lord sends him to this town to go find this widow. And tell her to give him something to eat. And I'm sure he probably said to the Lord, "Lord, you send me to a river, dries out. And now you want me to go to this town, to this widow that I don't know, in the middle of a famine and a drought, and ask her for something to eat. Are you crazy?" That's what I would have said. "Really? You have nothing else to tell me? You have nothing else to ask me? Is that actually what you're going to respond in answer to my prayer? Send me to a river that dries out, to a city, to find some widow that's also suffering famine and drought, and go and ask her for something to eat? Really?" And you know what God said? You know what he said? He says, "Yes, really. Because I want to teach you how to trust. I want to teach you how to trust. Even in the midst of the famine and the drought, even in the midst of your heart that feels like it's running on empty, even in the midst of what you perceive to be my silence in answer to your prayer, or maybe an answer that sounds absurd to you, yes, really, because I want to teach you how to trust in God's providential care." And because Elijah was a man of God, then he goes and he tries to figure out where this widow was. I don't know how he did it. Maybe he Googled her name. I don't know. I have no clue. He went and, you know how you put someone's name in white pages, and maybe he did that. I don't know. But he ends up with this widow. And he does what the Lord asked him to do. And he says to this widow, "Bring me some water at a moment of drought." Haven't you ever felt where you're running on empty and then your phone rings and they want something from you? How does that feel like? Right? It feels like you saying, "Really? If they only knew," right? If they only knew. And you know what God says to you and me? You know what he says? "Yeah, really. Yeah, actually, yeah, really." And so she brings him a cup of water. And then he asked her for something to eat. But things were dire. Listen to the words. "Listen, all I have is some grain, some flour, and just a little bit of oil. And I was going to make it for me and my son. And then, you know what's going to happen? We're going to eat it. And then, remember what it said? And then we're going to die. Because it's done. We don't have anything else. We're empty. There's no hope. There's no hope. We're going to die." So yeah, I was actually in the midst of gathering some twigs and mixing this thing up and making something for my son and myself, and then we were going to lay down and die. And then Elijah says to him, to her, calls her to trust. She probably said better, easier said than done. Right? Have you ever been like really down and out, running on empty, heartbroken, betrayed, all the things we talked about, and someone comes along to you and says, "But you have to have faith?" Yes. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. It's like standing out in the middle of drenching rain and someone comes by and says, it will stop eventually. But in the meanwhile, you're getting wet. So he calls this widow to trust in God's care and providence. And he gives her this little speech about that. And then he says, after she said, listen, I just got some twigs, some flour, and a little oil. I was going to mix this thing up, make something, eat it with my son, and then die. And you give me this speech about trusting God and providence. And then he says to her, make me some cake. Can you imagine? Make me some cake. Make me some cake. I guess if I were that widow, I would have said, have you heard nothing that I said? You want me to show you the jugs? What do you mean, make me some cake? But she did. And because God is never undone in generosity, never undone in generosity, they ate and they had enough for a year. She took the little she had and she placed it at the throne of God's providence and care and love, and she let it rise, right? She took what she had, and it literally rose. It rose. Because God is never undone in generosity, whether we feel it or not. Oftentimes, God's providential care for us is like air. We can't live without it, right? We can't live without it. There's a lot of things we say that I can't live without this, I can't live without that. I had a friend of mine who met this guy, and 3 weeks later, she calls me. She tells me how in love she is with this guy and how wonderful she is. And all this type of stuff, and I'm listening to all that, and then at the end of the conversation, she says, I can't live without Frank, who she met 3 weeks ago. And I listened for a while, and then I said to her, yeah, I have to tell you, just to be honest, just so that you keep your head on straight. There are three things, actually, that you can't live without. You can't live without food. You'll last about a month. Some of us, because we have reserves, maybe a little longer. You can't live without water. In about 3 or 4 days without water, you basically begin to shut down. You'll dry up. And in about a week, you're close to death. Water. Of which that's what we are mostly made out of, right? They say it's like 90-something percent. Like, can you imagine? This is basically a sack of water. But the one thing is the thing that we take for granted the most. The most. And it's the one thing that we can't do without. Not for a month, not for a week, minutes. Air. Air. As simple as air. And we don't even question it. No one, I think, called the office here at the cathedral today to find out if there would be enough air. Did anybody do that today? No? Took it completely for granted. You trusted. Even though of everything that we say that is imperative in our life to have, it is the one thing that we can't live without. And it's the one thing that we think the least about. We think it will always be there. You think it will always be there. Unless you're in a situation where you actually appreciate air and you check it out. So one of the things I've done for many years, actually, not as much now, but I was a diver for 30 years, or am a diver. And so I know what it's like to be at 100 feet under the ocean and make sure that I have air. Because I'm not a fish. And so I have to take it with me. So I have to make sure that I'm checking what I never check. Air. And God's presence in our lives is kind of like that, you know. We know that the air is here, but most of the time we don't feel it unless there's wind. But if there's no wind, you don't feel the air. You can't touch it. You can't feel it. But, oh man, do you know when it's not there? You know when it's not there. God is not undone in generosity. And he takes sometimes the emptiness of our own hearts, whatever causes that emptiness, and he multiplies it when even that we give to someone else. Like the widow, right? The widow in that first reading, in the middle of a drought and a famine, gets this crazy prophet to ask her for water, for something to eat. She tries to explain. She says the little they have, they're going to eat, but then they're going to die because it's done. There'll be nothing left. And he has the audacity to say, make me some cake. I would have said, you want some milk with that too? But God is not undone in generosity. And he takes the little that we have at times, that we feel we have, and multiplies it. Multiplies it. In my first assignment, I was sent to St. Ambrose on Sea and the Boulevard. And on a Sunday afternoon, all the masses were done. It was kind of quiet. At around 3 in the afternoon, the door rings, and there was a person there asking for food. We had a small food pantry, but oftentimes that food pantry ran low, if not empty, by the end of the week until it was restocked, replenished on Monday. But now it's Sunday. When I walked into that food pantry, there really wasn't much. And I took what little was there and put it in a small box and took it to this person who was waiting in this little front office. The door was open. And I tried to kind of explain and excuse myself to this person that this is what little we have right now, but that tomorrow, early in the morning, we will get restocked, and asked her, please come back. But as I'm trying to explain this to this person, there was another person that comes behind her. This person with now her little box begins to walk away. And I'm saying to this person, I just gave back the little I had to a person that just asked. But I could give you some money. And if you come back tomorrow, there'll be plenty of for you to take. And as I'm trying to explain this to this person, the other person comes back. comes back through the door, places her box, her little box, with what little I gave her on the desk that was there, took half of what I gave her and gave it to the other person. Didn't say anything. She just did that action and then walked away. God is not undone in generosity. The widow in the gospel is about that too. She gave what she had. And the Lord looked at that and said, probably gave more than anybody else. Because maybe everybody else gave from a full heart, a plentiful heart, a heart full of time. But this widow, she gave from all she had. So when you're running on empty, that first widow, she learned, let it rise. The woman that I gave all these little cans to, and she ran away with her little cans, but then she heard that someone else was in her same boat, she said to herself, let it rise. And the woman in the gospel today, when she saw there was a need, she gave, the gospel says, everything that she had. Because she knew that the Lord would let it rise. So let it rise. I don't know what needs are around your life and who's around your life that has needs. Maybe you're the one who has the need. But whatever it might be, let it rise. Today we celebrate the confirmation of these men and women. I'd like to just share with you words from Pope Francis and let his words speak to you on the day of your confirmation. I got off the phone with him just about 2 hours ago, and he told me to tell you this. If you believe that, I'll tell you another one. But it is his words, though. His words that he spoke about this sacrament. So let these words speak to your heart about this moment in which God's Spirit will rise in you. Confirmation, like every sacrament, he says, is not the work of men, but of God, who cares for our lives in such a manner as to mold us into the image of his Son, to make us capable of loving like him. And he does it by infusing in us the Holy Spirit, whose action pervades the whole person and his entire life. Francis says that when we welcome the Holy Spirit into our hearts and allow him to act, Christ makes himself present in us and takes shape in our lives. And through us it will be he, Christ, who prays, forgives, gives hope and consolation, serves others, draws close to the needy and to the least, creates community and sows peace. He says, think how important this is. By means of the Holy Spirit, Christ himself comes to do all this among us and for us. And that is why it is important to receive the sacrament of confirmation. And that's why this day is really a blessed day for you. And for Barbara being received into the church and being confirmed and welcome to the Lord's table. The last word I want to share with you is my word. Comes from me. I didn't read it in a book. I made it up. Comes from me. I should copyright it. It's now on t-shirts. Literally. It's now on plaques. I got 5 of them that people have made. And it's actually just a thought. that when I became a bishop 9 years ago, I've only been a bishop 9 years, a priest 32, I began to place this thought in the hearts of people like yourselves who were celebrating the sacrament of confirmation, being sealed with the gift of the Spirit. And I'm going to ask you to remember this thought. You're about to become a member of an exclusive club, if you will, because no other bishop in this country that I know of uses this thought. It's a thought that roams around New York all over the place, among literally thousands and thousands and thousands of people that I confirmed personally while I was there. It roams around Ohio. It roams around Florida. And it roams around Pennsylvania. And now it's going to roam in you and around you. So I'm going to ask you to remember this thought and never forget. So that when you and I cross paths about 10 or 20 years from now, and you come up to me and you say, "You confirmed me. You remember that?" And I'm going to say, "I think so." But I'm going to say, "But I did remember. I do remember what I asked you to remember, though." And it will be in your best interest to remember what I'm just going to tell you to remember. So listen. And I'm going to say it twice. And I'm going to ask you to repeat it with me. In fact, everybody here. Because it really applies to all of us. You ready? You sure? Let it rise. Never, never, never. Never. When? I'm not convinced. When? Never underestimate the power of the Spirit of God working in you, through you, and despite you. Never underestimate the power of the Spirit of God working in you, through you, and despite you. Repeat it with me once, please. Never underestimate the power of the Spirit of God working in you, through you, and despite you. And I must say that most of the time, unbeknownst to you, you won't even know. All that God asks is that you give what you have. And he will take care of the rest. Amen?
Amen.
You let it rise. And so I'm going to ask those to be confirmed actually to rise and stand up. Because they're going to renew their baptismal promises that were made for them maybe when they were little kids. But the church today, as a final step before they are confirmed, strengthened, sealed with the gift of God's Spirit in their hearts, is going to ask them to reaffirm those promises, to choose them for themselves, to make them their own.